So, I'm wondering, this is a question that I was kind of thinking about. You ever sing a song or listen to a song and really don't fully understand what it is that you're hearing? So, there was a love song that I woke up to the other morning. This lesson's not about love songs, but it's just an aside. And I thought, oh, it's such a lovely love song. That one line, the tune is beautiful. And so I let the whole song play through my mind, and I'm like, that is not a good song. That is about, she's over here with her husband, and he's over here with his wife, and she loves him, and it's too bad they're not single. And I'm like, that is not a good song. I cannot listen to that song ever again and really enjoy it once I kind of thought it through. And it was funny, because sometimes, you know, I taught Sunday school class for 19 years, babies, 1, 2, and 3-year-olds. Probably some of you were there. I think I've made the cycle now where I think I'm getting new kids that I didn't have in that primary class. But some of the songs, I remember singing them with you younger kids, and I think, what does that song mean? And one of them was, "His banner over me is love." Oh, I love that song, because the more demonstrative you are with toddlers, the more excited they are. In some Sunday school classes, it was like everybody had their thumb in, and they're just looking at Sister Sherry like she's crazy, which she was, but I wanted response. And so I love the songs where you did lots of hand motions and clapping and all that. And so that was one of my favorite. But I thought, what does "His banner over me is love" actually mean? Teaching that to these babies every Sunday, but I don't really know. And so that thought came to me, and I thought, I'm going to do a Bible study. So if you read my devotions that I write once a week, you'll have a little bit of this. And if you were in Sunday school this morning, you'll have a little bit of it. And then I'll have some more in the middle. So anyway, they all kind of come together, and I felt like God began to inspire me along this line. And so I thought, well, surely this comes from Scripture, which it does. So Song of Solomon 2:4 says, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." And so in Sunday school, we've been studying on the standard, or love not the world. And the word standard, other words for that are like banner or flag or ensign. I had to look that up, how to pronounce it, because I did it wrong this morning. So ensign, or we have standard. You might even say a pennant. Hopefully I spell it right. Or banner. So all of those are very similar, might be a little bit differences. There's the words that we're going to look at in this lesson to find out, what is his banner that over me is love? Now, early standards, we're talking about flags. I could put that up there as well. Put the word flag. Not always made out of material. Might be a piece of wood on a stick. Might be a piece of metal that they would paint, draw pictures. They might actually put some words on there. And so I found some pictures here. I could have a volunteer to walk around and show this picture. Brother Nolan. So he's going to walk around with this. These are some very old pennants, flags, standards that, and on there would be pictures of what they stood for. All right. So he's going to carry that around and show you. Might be a family crest on there. There might be pictures on there that represent things in their family history. He's doing a very good job. Now out here, and I thought about bringing it in here, but I decided against it. We have an American flag. We also have the Christian flag out there as well. Now what does the American flag stand for? We look at it. It's got stripes, and it's got stars, and it's got three colors. What does it stand for? It stands for our country. It stands, it's patriotism. It represents the freedoms. I'm going to let Brother Nolan finish, so I thank you. Awesome.
You're welcome.
All right. We say the Pledge of Allegiance. And what do we do? What do typically we do when we say the Pledge of Allegiance? We put our hand over our heart. Why? We got chest pain? No. But why do we do that? Do we know? It's a sign of respect, right? Should you be singing? No, I'm sorry. If we're singing the national anthem, should you be not paying attention and talking to someone else? And why does it matter? It's a sign of respect. Our flag represents our country. It represents our liberties. We had to go to war to be free from England. It represents our unity as a nation. We've come together and we're all Americans. You hear the kids say, I'm American. Well, that's a sign of pride, patriotism. This is what our flag represents. It's a common cause. In Bible times, these banners, these standards that I showed you, would represent the beliefs or the ideas of the people that were carrying it. There was something to that. Again, we're trying to figure out, what does that mean? His banner over me is love. So in Numbers chapter 2, when the people of Israel would camp, because when they traveled through the wilderness for 40 years, they didn't stay in the same place. So they would be there for a while, then everybody would gather up your tent, pack it up, let's go. And they would move around. And Numbers 2 and 34 says, "Thus did the people of Israel, according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so that they encamped by their standards, and so they set out, everyone in his family, according to his father's house." So here's a rough drawing of what possibly that might have looked like. So the tabernacle would be in the middle. That's the big, obviously, rectangle or square that you see in the middle. And all around the outside edges were tribes. How many tribes were there? Do we know? How many tribes? We don't know. 12. Thank you. We know over here. All right. So if there's 12 tribes and there's four sides, how many tribes on each side?
Three.
All right. We have three tribes on each side. And that would also be called camps. So like these three here together would be a camp, and these three here would be a camp. So not only would they have an ensign, standard, pennant, banner that represented their camp, those three together, so that would be four separate banners, there would also be some that represented your family. So within that camp, there would be multiple families, and you might have another banner that would represent what your family stood for as well. So it's believed that the four main standards or ensigns or banners had a man on one, a lion on one, an oxen on another, and an eagle. And these represented the tribes of Judah, Reuben, Ephraim, and Dan. So we're getting these words from the Bible, standards, banner, and we're learning, what does that mean? But we go and we kind of study how they used it in the Bible stories or in history. Numbers 2 and 2 said, instructions to camp by your own standard. Or another way of expressing that was to put up the flag. So if you walk in here, say you just arrived at camp, you're bringing in the sheep and you're a little behind and they've all camped and you have no idea where mom and dad are at. Well, you're going to know which side because they always were on the same side. So if you know what camp you belong to, you know what side. But given that there was approximately 1 million men in this group that left Egypt, and that probably continued to grow, it would be a very large encampment, and you might have a little trouble finding the home tent, unless it was extremely unique, or if it had a banner or an ensign or a standard on a pole outside that you knew, oh, there's the Strelecki clan. I know where to go now. I know where to gather. And so it helped you know where you belonged, who you identified with, or who your family was. In Bible times, banners were also used to let soldiers know where to assemble in times of battle. In a great big battlefield, oh, there, that one's ours. Let's get over there. We know where to assemble. Or you'd know it was time to assemble. They put up that pole with a certain banner, a certain standard, and it lets you know it's time to go to war. If you see one up on a hill, there would be a certain design or a certain color. It could alert you that the enemy's coming. If you lived in the countryside, you need to get inside the city, flee. So it'll let you know that there was danger coming. Now, if you see one in battle left unattended, that was not good. It was a sign of defeat. Somebody had killed the standard bearer, killed the one that was carrying that flag. And so that was actually a bad sign. So I thought about if we, not only in Bible times, but maybe let's think about during the Civil War. Brother Steve seems to think, and he's probably right, that might have been one of the last times that flags were used for communication in this manner, and why would that be? What came on along by the time we had World War I and World War II? What did we have to help us communicate, our soldiers? Yes, we'd have radios and electronic transmissions, so wouldn't have needed this. But think about a time when you did not have that. So there was a great reverence shown, not only for your flag, but there would be a flag for each regiment. So typically, the regiments were created by states. So you're going to be, you might have a bunch of guys from Ohio there fighting with you in that regiment. So there's going to be a love for your country, but then there's a love for your state as well. And these men would sacrifice their lives to protect this flag. This flag was very important. In fact, they would have parade ceremonies. They still have these today. What happens in a parade ceremony? You parade the flag out. The people, the soldiers would gather to show signs of respect. They would stand there. But also, just in case you forgot what your regiment flag looks like and you forget who you're supposed to be following, that gets reinforced over and over by parading that flag in front of you. This is, you belong to the Union, but you also belong to this regiment. And so here is a different picture. Different flag. I'm sorry. Here is a different flag. Flags were critical. They would mark your position on the battlefield. So I already said you did not have the ability to communicate by radio. And if you get separated from your regiment, and cannons are being used. So what do cannons produce in addition to cannonballs being projected? What else do they produce? A lot of smoke. Makes it harder and harder to see. I would say it's loud. Are you going to hear your commander over here on the North Hill? You're not going to hear him, more than likely. Even a bugle call would be hard to hear over the extreme noise of a battle of this magnitude. And so you would look for your flag, for your regiment's flag, and you would know, oh, that's the 31st Division. I better get over there. That's where I'm supposed to be. And that would help you to get with you. It would be a place of safety, be a place to gather. So flags were very important. And also, you were trained to follow your regiment's flag. It was a song that was written during the Civil War, and it was called Rally Round the Flag. And that's what they were saying. Get to where your flag is at. Rally around it. This is where safety. There's safety in unity. There's greater fighting power in unity. Get with your regiment. Get to that flag. Then there was the color guard. And that would be designated soldiers who were to carry the flag. Now, in every regiment, typically, from what I was reading, you would see two flags. You would see the flag for the cause. So if you were on the side of the Union, this would be the flag that you probably would see. If you were this on the side of the Confederacy, then it would be a Confederate flag. And then there would be the second flag being carried, which is the flag of your regiment. Now, if you're carrying that flag, what can you not carry? I mean, you might have it in your back. I don't know, but I don't see any way you can carry a rifle. It's going to be a little difficult. So they typically were unarmed. That's even more dangerous. Now, there would be soldiers assigned to protect them, but they're unarmed. Now, if you are carrying a flag that is showing the soldiers where to go, where to march, where to assemble, what does that make you to the enemy? A target. They're very conspicuous. In fact, it was a very, very dangerous job. It was prestigious, and it was a high honor to be asked to carry the flag, to be part of the color guard. But it was very dangerous. And in the Civil War, many of them lost their lives. If you were to lose your flag through perhaps anything that you did, now, I mean, if you were killed, that's one thing. But let's say you just lost it through neglect or carelessness, your whole regiment was shamed. And for the enemy to capture it, now it would be considered a victory on your side if you caught the enemy's flag, but for you to lose yours, it was a great disgrace. So there was such pride, such prestige, and such importance placed on these flags. If you were killed in action, and you've probably seen this before, a soldier would come right behind, grab that flag, get it up off the ground, don't let it touch, carry it. Go forward. Let's have victory here. These flags, I think as we study a little bit of how they've been used, maybe that'll help us to understand the standard or the banner that we read about in the Bible. So what is his banner? The song says, his banner over me is love. Psalm 60:4 says, thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. And again, Song of Solomon says, his banner over me was love. Now, a banner represents a cause, as we've already said. It might be a family, your beliefs, your freedoms, your unity. What is the theme of our banner? His banner over me is love. We can go to the Bible. 1 John 4:8. God is love. John 3:16. For God so loved. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. God created us. He loves us. He wants a relationship with us. He actually sent his son to die so he could have this relationship with us. No greater love hath a man than he would lay down his life for a friend. And that's what Jesus did for us. So if we were to draw a picture, as I said, ensigns, standards, pennants, banners could be just colors, could have words, or could have pictures. And I thought, what if we would draw a picture, a pictorial display of what his banner over me is love looks like? What might we put on there? Do you have any ideas? No words, just pictures. Well, the universal sign cross. I think that would be a good one. That to me represents incredible amount of love. What else might we put on this banner or pennant that we were creating that shows God is love? Yes.
Him holding like the world in his hands.
I like that. I like that one. So Jesus or God holding the whole world in his hands. Good. Anybody else? An idea of how we could, no words, just draw a picture. This shows God is love. What about the Bible? That's his words to us. We could just draw a picture of the book. What about praying hands? To me, to see praying hands reminds me of every time I've prayed and God's answered prayer. Perhaps an empty tomb, if you're real creative. Or maybe pictures of creation, to think of all God created to make this a beautiful place for us to live in. So I think you're getting the idea. There are many things that we could draw and we would put on there that displays his banner over me is love. It conveys the idea God is love. And not only that, but because he loves us, these things that we're drawing on this banner, they draw us to him. Just like the hands would remind me of every time God's answered prayer. And that makes me feel closer to the Lord. The Bible reminds me of reading scriptures that have encouraged me, challenged me, and helped me. And that draws me closer to him. Now, God's calling us to be color guard or standard bearers. What is a flag or a banner without someone to carry it? It's either going to be in a display like it is out here in our auditorium, and it's not moving anywhere, it's stationary, it's right there all the time, or it's laying down. God needs people to carry his banner, to lift it up. Isaiah 62:10 says, lift up a standard for the people. Other people need to see this. He's calling us to lift it up. Isaiah 13:2, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountain. Hi, bud. There are people who need to know God is love. This is the best way to live. This is how you get saved. This is the way to salvation. So you're holding up the banner. But just like that color guard, that standard bearer in times of war in the Old Testament, in the Civil War, was very important. It's very important to us today. It is a great honor and a great privilege to carry God's banner. But you're going to need courage. You're going to be a target. You're going to be conspicuous. You're going to dress different. You're going to act different. You're going to draw criticism. You're going to draw people making fun of you because you are daring to carry his banner. If you flee or you lay down that flag, more than you might be lost. In the battle, this flag shows the troops where to go, where to gather. What if it heads the wrong direction? More than just the standard bearer could lose his life. In the same thing, we are called to carry that for Christ, but we get discouraged. The battle gets hot, things get hard, and we're tempted just to lay it down, let it go, let the enemy have it. Who's going to follow us? Who's going to be affected if we do that? And just like in real war, if the enemy captured that flag, it was quite a victory. If the enemy captures your flag, he's going to use it. He's going to use your influence and how you turned your back on the Lord to actually hinder other people. So how should we carry this flag? Now, you know there's codes and there's rules for how we display and carry and respect and take care of our American flag. And just like there are rules, there is a guidebook. God has given us a guidebook for how to be standard bearers, and it's called the Bible. So let me give you a few scriptures that tells us how can we carry God's flag, God's banner, which is love. How do we carry that? By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love one for another. If I'm carrying a banner that says love and I cannot stand some people and I let them know about it, I might as well just take that flag down because I'm carrying something I don't believe in. You need to love one another. But not just that. Matthew 5 and 44 says you need to love your enemies. Okay, I don't mind loving people that love me. But it's a lot harder to love people that don't love me. And God knew that. So he put that little guideline there in his book. Matthew 19 and 19 says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Neighbors live close to us. Sometimes they get on our nerves. We probably get on their nerves. If we're going to carry his banner that says love, we need to love them. Mark 12 and 30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. John 14 and 15 tells you to love. If you love me, God says, you're going to keep my commandments. Again, if we're the standard bearer, this is how we do it. Romans 12 and 19. Let love be without dissimulation, which means pretending. Oh, yes, I love you so much. Not really. Yeah, that shows. And in God's guidebook for being a color guard, he says, don't pretend. I need you to love everybody and don't pretend that you do when you don't. Let it be without dissimulation. Love works no ill to his neighbor, Romans 13 and 10 says. Galatians tells us that if we love, we're going to serve one another. And Proverbs 10 and 12 says, love covers all sins. Now, if somebody does you wrong, it may not even be sin. It might just be you're treated wrong. It's hard to ignore that, isn't it? It's hard to just, okay, I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to tell my husband and my kids and my 47 friends and all my relatives, and because that's the human nature. I just want to tell people. I'm just aggravated. How could they do that to me? Love covers all sins, all wrongs. And again, I wrote a devotion about how that our dog Romeo, about this time of year, he will start bringing us presents, and they stink to the high heavens, and they're dead possums, and they will have one in the backyard and one in the front yard, and he doesn't like possums, obviously, and so we have to go bury them because they smell so bad. And I thought about that. We're covering up something that's very stinky. Put it in the woods. I don't know, we dig a hole or we put leaves over it or something. Because it's smelly. It's not good. And for me to leave it in that yard, just every time I see it, it's irritating me to no end. Oh, that looks awful. And then sometimes if you have visitors come and they have to step over it, which happened, I think we had COVID and somebody brought us a gift and there was a dead one on the sidewalk. I'm like, that was embarrassing. We don't live like this, I promise. So what if every time someone hurts us, we do the same thing? Don't leave it on the sidewalk to be thinking about all the time and to be showing people, yeah, our dog, he's crazy. No, go bury it, cover it. That's what love does. We're not going to talk about it anymore. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to give it life in my mind because I am a standard bearer. And his banner over me is love. And I need to portray that, not just on this pole I'm holding up, not just because I dress like a Christian, but because I truly believe what that banner says. Our lives must represent what that banner stands for. Now think about this. Imagine a Union soldier carrying a Union flag dressed in a Confederate uniform. Would that be confusing? I think so. Imagine a Christian carrying his banner, which is love, and not dressed right. Not wearing the uniform that God has provided. What is that uniform? Scripture says robes of righteousness. That might be modest apparel. That might be making sure we talk the right way, we act the right way, we have the right attitudes. We can't be wearing the uniform of the opposing army and think we're going to be able to lead people. They're going to see the flag, but if they see our uniform, they're going to be confused. Maybe the enemy's captured our uniform. The enemy has captured our flag. I better not follow him. I don't think he knows where he's going. I think he's confused. And rightly so. There are so many people who need to see this banner. God wants you and me to lift it up high through our lives, through our actions, our dress, and our attitudes. Hopefully the next time that you sing "His Banner Over Me Is Love," you'll remember some of the lessons we brought tonight. Truly, it is an honor and a privilege to be asked to carry that banner for the Lord. Let us stand. Lord, we thank you for your blessings and your strength. We thank you for how good you are to us. We need you. We pray you go with us as we go into the next service. We ask that you bless in the singing, perhaps any testifying, the message, whatever may go forth. Use it to your glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.